Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable. Then floating out is Spanish Vision, but very elegant at the 150. The darling of the turf has raced clear 3 lengths in set of eyes, and it's very elegant. 10 group ones, and now the greatest of them all, the Melbourne Cup. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. It is all three members on the panel tonight, the three musketeers, myself, Ben Caluzzi, Will Alford, and Nick Mogwalter. It is PB Lawrence Stakes Day at Caulfield. We've also got the Rosebud Stakes at Rosehill, which looks an absolute cracker. Fellas, how are we doing on this Thursday? Nico, welcome back to the podcast.
Yes, it's been a little hiatus, so no, it's good to be back. The racing's starting to get a bit better. The weather is fucking unbelievable.
It was unreal today.
It's an absolute pleasure. This is my favourite time of year by far. You can just about ditch the jumper by about 9 o'clock. It's dead set perfect outside in the sun. It's phenomenal stuff. J-Max in Thailand, so all on my own at the moment. It was nearly a trip to hospital today. I had a bit of a chainsaw accident, but thank fuck.
You're joking.
Fuck. Nah, well, I was cutting something with the chainsaw and it jumped back out at me. So I was lucky that it just snicked my hand, and I've got a little bit of a cut, but it could have been cut off. So lucky that it wasn't. But
J-Mac goes away and it goes to shit.
Well, I'm not going to explain what happened because it's going to... For a lot of people that haven't used a chainsaw, they're not going to understand what I mean. But there's a certain cutting technique that I've got with it. And it's fair to say I was in like a tight space and I didn't cut it how I would normally cut it. And the saw got stuck and it spat back out at me and nicked my hand. And it's one of those things. It's not like a normal cut, like you'd cut your finger with a knife. I didn't realize it.
Oh, shit.
I didn't realize it for like 20 seconds. And then it just feels like someone stabbed like a sword right through your hand. I didn't feel it. I looked down, I saw the blood, and it was fucking so sore. Still pretty sore now, but anyway.
Show me.
It doesn't do it justice. But
that's
probably
fucking nothing.
No, it's fucking deep because the tip of the saw went in there. The teeth of it.
Yeah,
you can see because it's the bruising around it. You can tell it's deeper.
Yeah,
it's deep. So it's not very pleasant. But apart from that. Last weekend was a little bit disappointing in the jumps. We've come to a bit of a halt. We were pretty hot for a little while there, so a bit of a humbling experience at Royal Castleton last week, but beat SP, just didn't get rewarded for it.
Because of no Alverson.
Oh, yeah.
No Alverson, no Castleton.
That's a bit of a lay-in to begin with, because when that meeting was meant to be at Coleraine, so when that goes to Castleton, if that... Like, everything's got to start again because, like, a horse like Alverson would probably have nominated if that was going to be the case. So,
yeah.
But yeah, one more meeting left next weekend. Obviously, there was a few high weights today, and keen to see the horse that won the jumpers flat Farak. Keen to see him over the jumps next year. He looks he looks a promising jumper into next season. But yeah, hopefully we can go one good meeting to finish the season, because it's been a pretty good season this year. Yep. So.
Well, the only cuts me and Botta get are paper cuts in the office, so we're pretty safe from danger at our desk. Let's rip into a bit of news. Racing Victoria Awards were last week. Without a Fight took it out. I think he had, 67 or 64 points from Imperatrix in second with 60, and then Pride of Jenny was down in the third.
The right decision, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it was the right decision. It was a pretty easy one to pick for mine. Without a Fight, first horse since Ethereal to do the double, and no horse to do the double has ever not won the Victorian Racehorse of the Year. So it's going to be interesting. Do we think he wins the Australian Horse of the Year as well, or does Pride of Jenny sort of take the mantle of that big Sydney win?
I think he should win Australian Horse of the Year. Like, what Pride of Jenny's done is nothing to sneeze at, but like, it's not out of the blue for a horse to be dominant in Group 1 races and go about it the way she has. I know she's done some pretty extraordinary things and whatever, like margins and this, that, but I don't know. I think it's a lot more rare to see a horse win two back-to-back like he has, like the double, rather than a horse that's won a lot of Group 1s. But you probably can't argue. There's no right or wrong answer. Well, there will be, but you can't begrudge someone if they, no matter which side of the fence they sat on with that.
2 weeks ago, if you had have asked me, I would have said Pride of Jenny, but I'm sort of swaying back towards Without a Fight now, and I was speaking to a few media who think Without a Fight's going to take out the mantle as well. We know that won't be announced until October, so that's in the lay bin.
Just hope there's no recency.
Couple months of this.
Yeah. You just hope there's no recency bias involved. Obviously, like, it's been a long time since we've seen Without a Fight, and Pride of Jenny's successes have been pretty recent. So you just hope that doesn't play too
much. I think the votes are already in, though. So the decision's been made. They just delay it for whatever reason.
Yeah,
But yeah, it was good night, Racing Victoria Awards. Kick ons at the Osborne.
You scrubbed up pretty good.
Thank you very much. The whole Collingwood team happened to be at the Osborne. I managed to bump into big Mason Cox in the toilets. And I was on my merry way, as you can so imagine. And I was in a good mood, so I told him I loved his podcast. I've never once listened to his podcast.
Oh, this is pinnacle. This is Nico type behavior. Oh, this is fucking fantastic. Hey, bro, I love your podcast. I never fucking listened to it, but
yeah, but he appreciated it. When someone tells you they love your podcast, it is one of the all-time compliments you can get.
Yeah, especially from strangers.
Yeah, but Collingwood have started their Mad Monday campaigns early. I can give you the tip there. Rosehill Gardens inquiry, that was going on, was it last Thursday or Friday? PVL was up there, and they were just absolutely giving it to him. Was it Mark Latham? Is that Latham? Latham was just absolutely digging into him, giving him all the stick in the world, things that aren't even related to the Rosehill sale.
It is a bit of a pissing contest, though, because it's all under oath or some shit, so nothing can be done about it. Like, it's not like PVL can sue him for misinformation or any of that sort of shit. So it seems like it's a bit of an open forum from what I can gather.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. It's what I do know is that I've got a better understanding of what's actually happening with the Rosehill sale. Some people might not know, but basically they've bought this land, or they haven't bought it, but they are wanting to buy this land behind Sydney Olympic Park, which is just a pit, and it's home to these endangered frogs, and it's probably not, like, they don't think it's going to be able to be built on top of. That's why there's no housing there or anything, but if they sell Rose Hill, they can make 25,000, you know, apartments, whatever it is. They're going to make a shit ton of money. And then if they build on top of a dump, that's going to ensure that they've got money for days to come. But I think the members of Rose Hill are going to make sure it does not happen. Any thoughts around it?
I don't know. I just think it's stupid and that they shouldn't sell it. I don't know. I don't bet in Sydney, so. But didn't Chris Waller say that he's going to move to Victoria if they sell Rose Hill? Did he not say that?
Yeah, I think he has threatened that. I think he's kind of just throwing it out there. I can't see Chris doing that, but I don't know. It's all just a game of cat and mouse at the moment, and Waller just threatening that as the biggest trainer in Sydney. PVL wouldn't want that, but he understands the stakes at hand.
That's fantastic. Come to Melbourne, yeah. Chris. We'll welcome you with open arms.
Yeah, give Bot a job. He'll be working for you.
I'll do his tactics.
All these slow gazumpers can go jumping.
Head case that it gives me already.
Yeah.
It'd be the best of both worlds.
All in betting. I've seen the best of the best and the worst of the worst in the last couple of weeks. And so far this week, it has been horrendous. I've had three pieces of bad news. So obviously nominations drop on a Monday. You try and work out which horses are going where. I knew Bold Bastille wasn't going to the Quizette, was always going to go to the Carline next week. She was the $3 favorite, so backed Arabian Summer at $6.50. She was backed into the $3.20 favorite, gets a foot abscess, so she's out. I do my dough there. In the vein, I backed Stay Focused at $4.50. The $4 favorite was High Octane. I knew he was going to Sydney. Tarpaulin was $5 all in. I knew that he was a good chance to go to Sydney, so I thought, I'm going to back Stay Focused here. He's probably going to open $3.50 with Tarpaulin because I knew he was going to dual accept. And then once Tarpaulin comes out, he's going to be $2.50. Well, Stay Focused hasn't accepted. So that's another middle finger to me. I reckon there's got to be a problem there because why would you give up a Group 3, an easy Group 3 this week, and instead go just to normal handicap? I think he's either behind or there's been a little bit of a problem because his recent trial was a little bit stinky. He was off the bit and over racing. So wait and see there. And the other big breaking news today was that James McDonald will ride Via Sestina next week in the Winx Stakes rather than Fangirl.
What does that mean? Why is that a big deal? Well, obviously,
are you under a rock, Fangirl's not.
Have you seen what type of rides Fangirl has been given when James McDonald is not a boarder? Oh.
It's plain and simple.
I thought she was saying she's not going to go. I thought, yeah, okay.
It's plain and simple. Yeah. The record speaks for itself. She's won once or twice without J-Mac on it.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought you were saying that she wasn't going to go now. But
she's going to get a proper K-Mac, just sore back.
It'd be interesting. Like K-Mac is obvious, should be in the running for the ride. Hugh Bowman's on holidays from Hong Kong right now, so he would be an awesome one to get.
Imagine Huey gets on. Poor K-Mac.
I'd absolutely take that. Bowman actually won the Vinery on her, I think, at Newcastle years back.
Mm. Huey riding her is not as stupid as it sounds because Waller's got a lot of other horses in the race that are going to need riders. Zoo Gotcha. Who's the other one? A Tissue. They're all going to be there, so...
Do you reckon? Not, do you reckon they all go?
Well, you said that a Tissue was kicking off there, and then she's going to Melbourne. Zoo Gotcha's probably going to go there. I would have thought.
To wait and see. Zach Lloyd is maybe another one throwing his hat in the ring.
Yeah, he'll ride. He'll probably ride Zardozzi, I'd say.
All right. Yeah. Nash. I don't know if Nash has a ride, but. There's a few. It'll be very interesting. I don't think, obviously, there is the option that she skips the Winx and goes to the Memsey. I highly doubt that's going to happen because that means she's delayed a week, comes to Melbourne and takes on Pride of Jenny, who's going to go fast out in front. I don't think that's what Waller wants, but there is also a little bit of rain on the radar next week, so you never quite know.
It's hard to trust him when he blatantly said that they won't clash. There's going to be fireworks if they do, and here we are first up, first crew one of the spring, bang, head to head.
This is not...
Chris, what's doing here? This is PVL yellow envelope job sort of stuff.
This is Chris Waller for you, though, is it not? Oh. He loves playing the game.
How about Gator putting half the sword through James Cummings today on his game plan, saying, because you know how much Gator loves it or hates a dual acceptor, and yeah. He basically said that, as good of a trainer that James Cummings is, he's becoming a little bit out of flavour due to so many dual acceptors.
Wow. Yeah, I think Lost was one of those. Tarpaulin was one of those.
Dipsy Doodle.
Dipsy Doodle was another one. So he definitely had a few in there, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah, at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do.
They either up the fee, which owners are not going to want to do, or they... I just don't think you can...
Imagine if you got a horse with moods.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything you can really do about it. Dual acceptors, it is what it is. In Hong Kong, and if they accept, they can't scratch unless it's a medical. Doesn't matter if you draw wide. I actually don't mind that, but it does mean there are a few wasted runs.
That'd be hard to do that in over here where there's so many racing jurisdictions. Hong Kong's is just one.
No. Yeah, it would just it would get pushed back straight away.
Yeah. I
doubt you can do it. Anything else you want to throw in the sea or any positivity?
There's no positivity.
Been a few weeks. That's why I haven't really got that many lay-bins. But more so just drivers on the road. Just a forever lay-bin. People that can't fucking drive. Seriously. There's so many dickheads on the road. Like, how do you get your license, honestly?
Yeah.
Some people have just got like no sense of awareness at all. Like they think they're driving in a fucking video game. Like if someone crashes into you or you get sideswiped, you just fucking pawn and restart. That's it. Fuck.
That's going to be bot when he gets his license. Oh,
I can only imagine what it's going to be like.
Fuck
off. Right, let's talk about 40.
Some fucking horse racing.
I've got one more for everyone to take away. This could be my new favourite chocolate.
Cadbury. Oh, actually, I do have a lay-bin. I'll let you go.
Caramilk, Breakaway. Ugh. Go and get it for yourself. It's like a, you know, like those thick Kit Kats?
Yeah.
It's like that, but in caramilk.
Like the wafer.
Don't knock it until you try it. It's wafer. Go and have it. It's fucking unbelievable. One of the best chocolates I've had. Been out for a while now, but it's definitely like top five material.
Yeah, good gear that. One lay bin. Anyone that reckons Sandown should go, just take a long walk off a short bridge.
I saw you posted that.
I wasn't even betting yesterday. But anyone who thinks fucking Sandown should go has got rocks in their head. It is the perfect track. There's two circuits at the one joint. It just races fair majority of the time. Good horses win. Punters are happy. It's just a fucking great place.
Yeah. Nico got over 1,000 views and he was pretty happy with that.
Well, just people need to speak up about it, Ben. It's as simple as that.
Areas on Twitter. All right. Let's get into the racing.
I've been a bit in the wilderness. People just wanted to hear from.
We start with Caulfield. PB Lawrence Stakes Day. This has been a good horse's kickoff point for a very long time. Mr. Brightside's won the last two editions. We've had horses like Hartnell win it, Poussin's Daloon, Hubie Got You, Shootout, Apache Cat, Pompeii Ruler, Regal Roller. So many good horses have won it. Mystic Journey, another one. But I think with the carnival, with Champions Day moving towards the back end of the carnival and many good horses staying up longer in their preparations, I think there's just lots of good horses skipping this, like Mr. Brightside. So we'll get into that in a second. But Bot Rail 9 metres, little bit of rain around. What'd you make of that?
Well, it's meant to rain on the day, I think. So, you know, it's probably going to be wet, maybe a six. And Caulfield's been so weird recently. Like, I just, it's a really weird times, weird sort of lanes. Like, it can be laney. I don't know. Caulfield hasn't been my favorite place to bet as of late. But, it'll be interesting because, I have no idea, and it's going to rain on the day, so it might like the track could be completely different from race one to race four. So, you know, it's like I'd just be wasting your time if I was going to give you my opinion on how the track's going to race right now on a Thursday.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just rip straight into the races then. You want to start in race one. It's an 1100 meter benchmark 84, 12:25 p.m. Market is Sunset Dreaming, $4.20 favorite from A Little Deep and Dipsy Doodle. They're sort of around the $4.60, $4.80 mark. Then you're out to Shame and Mighty at $8.50. Who do you like here?
Yeah, well, this is a nice little race. Like this is not a bet I'm going to steam into or anything. It's just a more of a nice little edge that I'll just back just, you know, there's a bit of an edge in the price, I think. So A Little Deep's first up, you know, like I've got it about what the market price is. Sunset Dreaming, I don't think it's an 1100 meter horse. I don't like it staying at 1100 meters, even though the splits were, you know, that it sort of was left. Its wheels were spinning when the sprint went on, and it sort of got better and better as the race went on. And staying at 1100 meters, I don't think is a good idea for it. So I'm not massively against it by any means, but I don't think 420 is any sort of value. And Dipsy Doodle actually didn't, like, despite what the visuals look like, didn't actually go as hard as what it looked. So I think it's a little bit undervalued as well. Sorry, overvalued. The one I'm on is Charmed Run, who ran a really nice rating, two back at, I think it was at Bendigo, and then went to Moonee Valley and ran on really nicely. And it's on the quick backup. I think it'll get a nice enough run from Barrier 4. It's got Blake Shin on. He's Ebon. Scobie Breasley medalist. He's beating the market. He's still beating the market. He's so good. And I think, you know, it's a fair price. There's not much... I don't think there's not as much between all of these as what the market. It's full as the field, like, not, you know. I just think Charmed Run should be like $7.50 and it's $12, so I'm going to back it.
Beautiful. We just got I saw a RV Stewards notification about A Little Deep that it had
throat surgery or something, didn't it?
Yeah. So that's just another thing to note for the punters.
Yeah, which is gross. Very gross.
Yep. Let's move on to race two. It is a benchmark 100 mile. Rise at Dawn is $2.70 favorite, but the big move has been Rhapsody Chic, $4.60. Bang into $2.90. Devoted is $4.60. Showmanship, $9. Keats, he's back, $13. And Juno Powell, his old sparring partner, is $14.
Yeah, this is... Rhapsody Chic and Rise at Dawn make up 70% of the market, and I think that is completely bizarre. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Rhapsody Chic ran the same day as Showmanship. Showmanship ran faster time than it, ran a better rating than it, and he beat Jimmy the Bear, who's $8 in a PB Lawrence later. And Rhapsody Chic, like, it beat the Open. Like, I know it's a 6.5 weight difference between Showmanship and Rhapsody Chic, but I just... Like it's going for five in a row, I think, or it's 1-5 in a row, whatever.
It's 1-4 in a row.
Yeah, it's going for five. It's been a good go early. I cannot get it anywhere near that price. I think it surely has to get it. Can't get anywhere shorter than that. I think Rise at Dawn probably should be favorite. It'll roll on speed. It's hard fit. And it could just catch a couple of the other ones. A little bit on, you know, like, you know,
napping
that rating. Yeah, I guess so. Like, it, the rating it ran with 53 kilos, regardless of how much you factor in weight, it's significant, especially during these sort of winter months. Like the market accentuates those sort of factors, like lowering the weights on these sorts of tracks. But yeah, I just thought showmanship, the price showmanship is crazy to me. Just like he beat Jimmy the Bear last time.
Where did that come from last start though? Because it's a big recent form.
Well, I don't know, but I don't really need to know. Like it still beat Jimmy the Bear. Like it ran really fast. That's all I really care about. Like if he drops off it, like I'm getting $10 to find out. So, even Keats, like, I think that price is probably, it's first up. Don't like, it's one of those bets that like, I don't love the bet, but like it's an over. So I might not back it. Juniper or Kettle Hill, I've both got too big as well, mainly just because I just really do not like the prices of Rhapsody Chic and Rise at Dawn and have diverted exactly what the market has it. So, yeah, there's a couple of angles. I just could just lay the two favourites, to be honest. I just don't like them at all.
You well, managed we've got to get Juniper or Kettle Hill home. I won't be showing up next week.
We've got a head-to-head here because Nico is on the six, I believe. All right. Price is probably tight enough now, Nico. We've missed it if you do like it, but perhaps you get better than $3 once the market percentage comes down.
Yeah, well, I thought $4 was good betting, and then I said to you last night when I was doing a bit of form, I was like, fucking hell, $2.90. Well and truly missed the boat. But, yeah, I can see why the market's loving it. Picket Fence, wet track, Jamie Carr, 53 kilos. It does tick a lot of boxes. The mile will be no issue. It's just a progressive horse going through the grades. But the one that I think is probably a touch big at the moment is Devoted. So I didn't really want to be against Rise at Dawn. No real reason. It's been running pretty honest behind some good horses. But I just think that Rhapsody Chic and Devoted are probably a touch better than it. So at the moment, the bet's probably Devoted. Not that Jump Out's anything to go by, but... narrow defeat to Gentleman Roy last start. Gentleman Roy's gone on and won again, and he's a single-figure chance in the PB Lawrence. This horse goes good second up, and his work the other day with Mr. Brightside was pretty good, albeit they weren't asked to do a lot. But, Stacky on. Looks a good play at the moment. Hopefully Rhapsody Chic gets back out a little bit, but, at that $3 mark, it's probably skinny enough, but that $4-ish mark was a lot more enticing. I'd be surprised if Showmanship can do it again. I was happy but sad when he won last up. He's been a horse that I've always had a lot of time for, and I've backed him a lot of times, but I was very surprised that he could win out at the mile, but maybe that's just a sign of him getting a little bit older and a touch less sharp than what it used to be. But, it wasn't a race that I wanted to get too involved in.
All right, let's move straight on then to the Vane Stakes, which is race five. We'll skip a few. This is an 1,100-metre race. It is for the three-year-olds. If you compare this race to the Rosebud, it has nothing on it, I would say. There is a few talented horses coming through, but the losses of Stay Focus and Tarpaul and... they hurt the race a lot. Interest points $3.40, Blue Stratum's $4.20, Wonderboy $4.20, Let's Face the Music $4.60, Band of Brothers $6. I took a little bit of $9 Blue Stratum all in. Once I got over the fact that Stay Focus wasn't going to accept, I just thought that was an easy over. I'm not happy about the bet at all. I'm not sure if he'll run a strong 1,100 metres, but I just thought he's probably going to open up near favourite, and he did. He started to get out a bit, but I sort of think the one on the up here is Wonderboy. If I had to have an on-top selection, I thought his debut was good. His jump outs have been good leading into this. I just think he's got a little bit more up the sleeve. I think he will be the one that progresses onto better out of these horses, but absolutely no confidence. What did you think of the Vane?
I think this is like if I saw this race on a Wednesday at Sandown, I would not surprise me at all. I was keen to have like a stupidly large bet on Tarpaulin because it was a moral, but that hasn't eventuated, and like, why is it not here? It just like it genuinely would have won by like 8 lengths. Anyway, I think Blue Stratum should probably be favourite, but I don't want to back it. Got the money out of it last time. I think it's probably just an 1,000-metre horse. Interest Point being backed is interesting to me. I don't know, maybe it's trialled well or something, but like, Wonder Boy's nice enough. The debut was just air. Like, it was good, but like, it wasn't like... Like, where are all the good horses? This is a Group 3 worth $200,000 for Colts and Geldings. Where is Coleman? Where is Espionage? Where is...
They're all resuming like, in the Moya, in one of the hottest Moyas like, we're going
to
see.
Use your fucking brain. Like, why don't you just resume in this race and then go to the Moya? Like, have a run. Like, why are they not here? It's a free $200,000 race. If they can't beat Blue Stratum, you can't win a fucking Moya.
Yeah. I guess maybe some of them don't want to go 1,100 back to 1,000. They're probably scared about losing a bit of freshness, but still, that's a 3-week break into the Moya. I agree with you. Like, Coleman shows up here.
If you can't train a horse to go 100 metres back in distance of 3 weeks, honestly, like, geez, it's fuck. Why are they not here? It's a great race, and like, Interest Point is favourite.
You heard it here first. Bot doesn't have a driver's license, but he knows how to train better than these blokes.
Shut up.
Yes, the ugly.
No, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. But like, seriously, why are the good horses not here? It pisses me off because it's a good race and it should be honoured with good horses in it. But you know, it's a Sandown bent like open 2-year-old race.
Yeah. Nico, any thoughts before we move on?
Oh, Bot's just potting everyone. I got.
Hey, watch out, mate. I'll pot you next.
Oh, have a crack. Have your hardest crack, champ. Someone who I know who listens to the podcast clipped up his pot shot at Waller last week.
Who did?
No, I'm not telling you who. Don't worry about that. Fuck. I heard you put the sword through Chris, and then that. Yeah, fantastic.
It's got back to Chris at Rosehill HQ.
Yeah.
Has it?
Absolutely. I fucking forwarded it straight to him.
Has he actually?
Yeah, I forwarded it straight to him. Direct line.
Fuck yeah. Oh, good. Well, give him my number and I'll tell
him. Hey, he was actually going to come on the podcast, but now that's fucking millions. So, well,
I'll do his tactics. Save me the fucking mental health.
No opinion in this race. Shit house.
Sweet. Let's move on to race 6. It is the Quizette. 1,100 metres. This one is for
from
the
shit fillies, to shit.
Of course, Group 3. Kurianagi is a $2.80 favourite from Drifting, $4. Did do a little bit of that, drifted. But after the scratching of Arabian Summer, I suspect there will be a bit more support. Manolo Bling, $6.50. Madrina, $9. Gigi's Mistruth, $12. And Just Like Gabby, the daughter of Loving Gabby, is $13. By Parada, who, mind you, will be serving Imperatrix as the first. What did you make of that?
That's pretty cool. Well, yeah, I would have thought it'd be Written Tycoon, but, you know. I don't know.
Parada winning the 3-year-old Magic Millions Guineas a few years ago was one of the all-time fill-ups. So
he was a good horse. And he's not squibby either, which is why I like him as a sire, because he's not. He was never squibby. He raced as a 4- and 5-year-old, so good horse.
These horses will have a bit of substance, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're trying to boost their own barn too.
Yeah. I've backed Kurianagi here. I've actually got Form King for the first time. So I've only just got it today, but as Form King will tell you,
come through with a sponsorship.
Nah. But anyway, get around Dave Funt because he's doing a pretty good job. I think he's doing most of this by himself. So, you know, it costs a bit of money, but it's to a good cause and it should only be getting better and better as the years roll on and he gets more data and learns a bit more. So Kurianagi last start in terms of its ratings was one of its lower ratings, similar to what it did on debut. But I think it had a few excuses. It was run off the track a little bit upon straightening by a 200-to-1 shot. I think it should have won the race easily. That was up against older horses, up against some 3-year-olds, went around favourite there. I think it can improve here. We know it's got tremendous Caulfield form, having ran third in the Blue Diamond and also second in the Prelude to Hayasugi. Soft track, beautiful. Jamie Carr back on. I just think there are too many ticks here. Gets 2 kilos off drifting. I've taken $5 all in, so that was my little trade-off. I've lost my money on Arabian Summer, but I've got $5 there. And I also took $34 for Bellatrix Star, which is the New Zealander. I just think there's a bit of overs about this horse, and it's being disrespected by the market. It's a Group 2 winner back home in New Zealand, beating two very good New Zealanders, Move to Strike and Velocious. We know Velocious very well, won the Karaka Millions 2-year-old with J-Mac on board. I think she can give a bit of cheek here. She's got to carry the penalty, same as drifting with the 58 kilos, but just watch out for her. She's definitely in my top four at odds.
Nico, do you like anything in this race, or will I talk?
Nah, this race is shit house. The winner's not running. So,
I think Koryanagi should be favourite, but you know, it was particularly like it got beaten by Lingani and Aviatris, and finished alongside Aviatris. That's not great form, but you know. With Morphettville, I think it's important to note that it's been playing a lot slower than advertised. I think officially it was a 7 or a 6 or something, but the time say it was a 9.5. So running first up at a decent sort of pace, and you know, it was wide and back, probably didn't work out as well. And as Ben mentioned, it sort of got bumped as well. You can pretty easily forget and forgive that run, but you know, it's still that rating's still there, and it still makes me a little bit uncomfortable taking 290. So I've got a favorite, clearly favorite, but I couldn't back it. Drifting's, you know, I don't like this race a lot, but Manolo Bling was a nice debut, but I think it probably goes back from the outside gate. But just like Gabby, I think can improve. I just don't think it's an 1,000-meter horse, and I liked what it did through the line at Flemington. So I think just like Gabby can improve, and it's the one that I could have a small bet on, but I don't love this race, really. If I was going to have a bet, I'd probably back Manolo Bling and just like Gabby, but I probably won't.
All right, then. Let's move on to the Regal Roller. This is another race that...
This is a good race.
We've seen some good additions in the past. There are a few decent horses here. Casts, Arkansas Kid. But it's probably down on versions that I've seen anyway, sort of growing up. Arkansas Kid has been well-backed.
What ones are you talking about? I don't remember the Regal Roller. Who's won the Regal Roller?
Didn't Vega Magic win a Regal Roller?
Oh, well, yeah, once. Like, that's... Who else has won the Regal Roller? That's on the spot.
Did Voodoo Lad win a Regal Roller, or maybe ran second to Vega Magic? I don't know. I just feel like this is still not up to what it has been in years gone by. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd have to go back and look. Arkansas Kid's been well backed. He's $3.70 favorite. Mountai. Oh,
better than last year's.
$4.40. Is he going to run a strong 1,200? Is he going to run a strong 1,200? Maybe, maybe not. Cast $6. It's Our Time $10. Expressiveness from New Zealand is $11. Who Dares $11? And another New Zealander, the Pendragon, $15. Nico, who do you like here?
Yeah, the last one that you mentioned. Obviously, a few people have had their head in my notes because he's been well supported. He was $26 yesterday. the Pendragon. I just think this is a very, very easy bet to have in a shit race. Mountai, well, he's not favourite anymore, but he was the biggest false favourite. He wouldn't beat me over 1,200 metres. But yeah, the Pendragon brings in solid form. Obviously, he's had 2 wins last preparation, beating Quintessa, who's a good group mare. Probably haven't seen the best of her when she's come over here, but then he ran second, beaten 3.5 to Orchestral in the whatever that big 3-year-old race is. What do they call it? The
Karaka Millions.
Karaka Millions, yeah. And then obviously he was just over the top when he came to the Aussie Guineas, but he was $26 yesterday when I was doing the form. and he started $26 in the Australian Guineas. I thought, well, there's no way that he's the same likelihood of winning this race as he was the Australian Guineas, via the good horses. So it's not a surprise to see him trim in. He's jumped out well in the lead up to this. He's got barrier three up on speed, for Shinny, who's absolutely airborne. Yeah, I just thought it was a very, very easy bet to have.
Yep. Bot, do you like anything? I thought this was quite a hard race. I can understand the specking for Arkansas Kid. Obviously ran second to Estriella. That might have been fresh last prep down the straight.
Yeah,
that was a pretty decent rating, but I don't know. I just don't know if I can find an angle. Who Dares gets him pretty well here, I thought. $11 isn't a bad price for him, and if the fence is off, then potentially, but maybe just has to improve a little bit to be winning. Who do you think goes on top?
Arkansas Kid's got to be favourite. The market's figured that out pretty quickly. I mean, Mautai went up favourite, and that was wrong. And I'd love Arkansas Kid is one I'd love to back. Like, it's just sort of, it's a box ticker, but I just can't get the price any shorter than, you know, where it's a bet. Like, there's
he been gelded as well going into this
prep? He's been gelded, so there's that little extra box tick if you're a box ticking man. But I can't, unless I'm forcing it, I can't make him a bet. I think Who Dares has to be a bet at $12. I think that price is crazy. And I also think Kabling coming off winning the Ramorny is also a bit of value at $16. Cast is interesting. I don't know what to do with it. I think Cast is a black, it'll win group races. At least it might win it'll be in the Empire Rose, and I can guarantee you it'll be like under 20-1. It's a good mare, and people will say Mautai won an 84 last time, blah blah blah. Like, it's like it shouldn't have gone up favorite, but like, it deserves its spot in the market. Before it sort of lost its way as a 3-year old, it was quite a good horse, and
it's fucking one from 10 at 1200 meters. Block. What part of that do you not understand?
God, it's great to have you back, mate.
He won't fucking beat you over 1200 meters.
Okay. He was still a good horse, and he deserves a spot in the market, regardless of his record over 1200 meters. I agree. I think he's more like a $7 chance than a $4.40 is the best price at the moment. I think Arkansas Kid's $4. His best price is $3.90. So I'm not gonna. The one I'll have something on is Who Dares. I think that price is a little bit stupid.
All right, let's move on to the PB Lawrence. It is the day's feature, Group 2, 1400 meters. Pericles is $2.90 favorite. Pinstriped, $4.80. Mudamek going for $4.00, $6.50. Journeyman Roy is also building a picket fence, is $6.50. Jimmy the Bear, $8. Buffalo River, $12. He runs in every single 1400 meter race at Caulfield. I think one of the better bets of the day comes up here in Pinstriped. He's had three jump outs going into this. This time last year, he only had two. He's looked really, really good in these jump outs. I think the autumn preparation, you can clearly forgive and forget. Enver took him to the All-Star Mile first up against a hard-fit Pride of Jenny who ran them along, and he just didn't handle it. He might have had a few problems, obviously, going there first up, so there must have been something wrong with him. I think they've got him back. His jump
outs. He almost fell at the start, which is what happened.
Yeah, there you go. There's another thing. I just think he's the one here. He ran second in this race last year off a hot tempo behind Mr. Brightside. He then won the Fian, beating Attrition, who went on to win the Toorak. So I just think the timing's right. He draws beautifully in barrier five for Benny Allen, and any rain is exactly what he wants. He's got a massive win on a heavy track. He's good on soft. And I just think he's pretty fit going into this. Pericles is the other chance. Why what?
Why is he fit? Like, he's had one run in a year.
I would just go by his jump outs, which have been much better.
They look good.
Going into last prep, yeah. They look really good. And in his latest one, it was only an 800 meter jump out, but Benny Allen got into him proper past the line and he had more of a 1,000 meter workout. You can see he's like still riding him, you know, a furlong past the line. So I think you're going to need a fit horse here because Buffalo River, Gentleman Roy, they'll go above average tempo. And I think it'll just suit something just off midfield. And I think that's him. I don't think there should be much between him and Pericles in betting. I've actually taken, on open, I took $7 for Pinstriped. I thought that was too big. And then Tab went up $10. I almost fell off my chair. I took $10. So averaged out, I've got 2 units of 7, 2 units of 10. So I've got $8.50. I think that is an absolutely cracking bet, but I'll also be backing Pericles. I'll probably get $3.50 for him. That's what I'm hoping anyway, once the market percentage comes down.
I did this race before the market came out, and then, like, I sent it to you. I sent my market, and then the prices went up, and they were like, oh, well, it's literally the exact same, except Pericles is just way too short. That was exactly pretty much what it was. And
the Pinstripe went up $8 with Sportsbet.
Did he? Oh, I didn't see that. Mm. Oh, fuck. I missed that. I was busy. Anyway, I don't know. It's another, like, the market will sort itself out like a little bit. The only thing in this race I think is wrong is that Aegon. Like, I don't like, it's another one of those bets, like, strictly on ratings, he's not a $23 chance. But, like, I know exactly what's going to happen. He's going to go all the way back to last, and he's a $23 chance. So, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do with this race.
Vlad Djuric book.
I know. That's interesting.
Strange.
Pericles was really bad first up last time, and I have no idea why. I don't need to know why, but he was. And it was first up, so it's convenient to say it was. So it's relevant to this race. His best is the best in this race. No one's disputing that. Pinstriped at his best is really good too. But all of his form was sort of in those five races, and he resumed. He was first up in the PB Lawrence last year, and people will say that. But he was off 84 days that time. This time he's had one run in about 350 days. So. It's a little bit different, even though he has had 3 jump outs. It's different under race pressure. They're probably going to go quite quick here. Munimex in the market as well, but I think he's clearly better. You look at his numbers, he's clearly better at a mile, but he's fit and he probably, like, you know, he's got to be some sort of chance. I just, like, if I'm betting on the numbers, Aegon's just a great bet, but I know exactly what's going to happen and therefore it's a really bad bet. So it makes me just not want to play the race at all at this point anyway. I'll probably end up backing Aegon.
Yeah, you're a sicko. Nico, anything?
I think Pericles is a clear standout in this race.
Fair enough.
I think he's by far and away the best horse in this race. I know that Pinstripe's trialled well and whatever, but he's still going to go and do it for me. I need to see him get back to his best form. Yeah, I just think Pericles, I think he had a couple of excuses first up last prep, and that's probably my only real knock on him at the moment. I think we'll get better than the price on offer at the moment, but he did start 650 v Mr. Brightside first up last prep, and then, you know, he was a length and a half off him second up. His horse ran second in a Doncaster, beaten a Pimple to Celestial Legend. Like, he's a proper horse, and I think this might be the prep where we start to see the best of him, hopefully. That's probably a bit harsh saying the best of him. He's won nearly $4 million and he's been a really good horse. But, he probably deserves to win a good race. And maybe the snip's going to be the making of him. But we'll wait and see, I suppose.
Yeah. I just think Munimek and Gentleman Roy, they are coming through. Gentleman Roy, Munimek, Jimmy the Bear, they're all coming through ratings races. They come up against two solid group two horses in Pinstriped and Pericles.
Pericles is a group one horse. It probably hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, maybe group one handicapper. He's not a group one weight for age horse.
No, probably not, but he's by far and away the best horse in this race.
Yeah. And I just think Buffalo River, yeah, he'll lead. He'll be there for a long way. But Gentleman Roy is going to be right on his hammer. And I don't know. I just think it sets up really well for Pericles and Pinstripe. I'm not telling you anything the market doesn't know, but hopefully you're with us on the sixth day. I know we've had a few average results, but getting Pinstriped at $8 plus, I just think it's a really good bet.
Right. I didn't even talk about Gentleman Roy. Sorry. I think he's a 650 chance and he's $7 now. So he's another one I could have something on. Because he sort of...
Fuck, I was dirty when he won last start. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. He was really good last time. They didn't go super quick. And maybe he half... Not cheated, but like he got a soft-ish run of it. But, you know, he still did what he did. And he has like prior efforts that sort of say that he can do that. So it makes me think it's real. And if he does it again, well, he's probably... just as likely as any in his hard fit and 1400 meters is his go, especially around Corfu and he's on speed. So
big JC as well.
Yeah, like if I get $8, I'll back it.
Yeah. Gentleman Roy is one of those ones where he's literally only 1400, I think. Like 1200 too short, 1600 is too far. Yeah,
exactly right.
14 is just that sweet spot.
Yeah.
The last LEU is $2.50 favorite. What do we think of that? 1400 meter, 84. Oh. It does seem a bit short.
Oh, it's everyone's best bet.
I just
Gator like, was keen. Bald Eagle was keen.
I opened up the form guide on Wednesday. I had like a seen LAU, like a vomit. I hate LAU. And then I see the two ratings either side of I had like just a like completely piled into it. And I got knocked off by Dennis Pagan. Like the two ratings either side win the race that I piled into it by four lengths. And it's just like, it's disheartening stuff. Like just, oh, they made me not want to do the race and I haven't done it yet, to be honest.
Yeah. If he produces his last start rating in Sydney, he'll win.
Yeah, he'll win.
But
I don't like that race. Yeah. Don't like Dennis Pagan either.
It's hard to say. You love Dennis.
All right, moving on.
Get to the real racing.
Bot can decide if LEU is a bet or not on Twitter.
Let
us know.
Yeah.
All right, let's get up to Rose Hill Gardens. Hashtag save Rose Hill. They're kicking off at 11:35 a.m. It's getting earlier and earlier. I think the earliest I've seen is probably... 10, I reckon they started at 10:30 one day when there was a 10 race card, maybe 11 a.m., but it's getting earlier and earlier. I don't mind it. Wake up, there's already a race on, and I'm very, very keen early. Firstly, Rail's in the true position. The official track rating right now is a soft 5. 6.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure they downgraded.
Oh.
Maybe I'm wrong. On Racing Australia, it's a soft 6, but I don't know if they've updated some of the betting.
Small Labian, actually. I was listening to some stuff on the airways today. Someone was saying it was a soft 5. Someone that it was saying that it was a soft 6. And then there was some trainers that train at Rose Hill that were saying it's a heavy track. So which one is it?
Well, I reckon it's heavier than what they're saying because on earth could trials, I think it was the Randwick trials or wherever they were. Randwick
trials tomorrow.
Got postponed until Monday because of the state of the track. Randwick is only half an hour drive, 40-minute drive from Rose Hill. So it's wet. It's raining. I would suggest that it is a little bit wetter than the soft 5, soft 6 advertised right now. So that's interesting. Race 1, 1300-meter benchmark, 72 over 1300 meters. Dawn Service, 260 from Autumn Glow, 320. Just Party is $5.50. Imperial Force, $7.50. Get a Fix, $8. I'm very keen here. I think it is the best bet of the day in Sydney, Dawn Service. This is an outstandingly bred son of Justify by Sunlight. First start probably didn't do a whole lot, but then the blinkers went on last start at Hawkesbury. Started $1.50 in a maiden and absolutely smashed the clock. Yes, we know... that this can happen at Hawkesbury. But I just thought it was an enormous performance. Form Kings got it going to 92.8 as a weight for age rating. So that's awesome for a second start. He's going to lead this year. Barrier 2 gets him well, 55.5 kilos. 1,300 meters, rock hard fit. stays at the 1300. I just think there are too many ticks not to back this horse. I've taken $3 on 365. He gets first use of the track. He's going to rocket straight to the front. I think he goes a little bit faster than last start, Tim Clark, and gets this debutante out of its comfort zone a little bit, who was scratched from Wednesday, was meant to run at 1,150 metres, goes to 1,300 metres here, cops a wet track, cops 1,300 metres on debut, and goes straight to a benchmark 72, so skips maiden grade. I know it's trialled really, really well, and it looks a good horse, but so often...
Race experience
over the sexy debutante, and more often than not, you'll be rewarded for it. So that's the way I'm going.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with you. I think Dawn Service is a fantastic bet. It is worth noting that Autumn Globe is down to run on Wednesday, scratched from a heavy track that got to back to a 7, I think it was. But then there was rain on race day and the track deteriorated. And that was at 11:50. Now it's here, going to be a wet track again and 1,300 metres against some horses that have been to the races and have won. Fuck. If Autumn Glow beats you, I think you just have to cop it on the chin.
Yeah. Simple as that. Yeah. If she comes out and blitzes them, then look out. You know, maybe have something on her to win the Golden Rose and... whatever the, I don't know if some of the Princess Series races are up in terms of all-ins, but if she comes out and wins here, then she is a serious, serious animal. But
it costs 1.8 at the sales.
Yeah, I think it's
technically 2.4 because she was 600 as a weanling.
Yeah, sold as 600 as a weanling and then 1.8.
It's in the Congo's sister. I actually watched the trials because I was interested and looks like a good, looks like a good horse, but
it had fucking won a bit of Ferrari for 2.4.
Well, it looks good.
I think a wet track is some query. Yeah. First up,
yeah, whatever. Dawn Service ran really fast at Hawkesbury, really, really fast, and he backed it in the Golden Rose and stuff.
Yeah, 100-1 at the sixth day. So we've got 100-1 in the Golden Rose and 50-1 in the Caulfield Guineas. So,
oh, is it Caulfield Guineas? I didn't say that.
Yeah, potentially. It's worth noting that Dawn Service was also 1.4 million himself. So we know we're saying...
Oh, no shit, it's out of sunlight.
Yeah, we're saying the sexy Arrowfield filly...
Small disclaimer, big ass for a horse to win. I know you're sitting in a good position, but how often do we say it that it's very hard for these horses to win these big features in their first preparation? Like, you're going to be up against... good horses that are coming for second and third preparations versus a horse all trying to do it in one.
Oh, no doubt. I've still got broadsiding firmly on top in terms of the three-year-old brigade, but, you know, 100-1 was worth taking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get a Fix is probably a little bit too big, and I think Just Party will drift heavily as well.
All right.
Paps's horse, Get a Fix.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It's been trialling the house down, but first up it was just, maybe it peaked on the run.
Just a little bit, yeah. It peaked on the run because it just did way too much during the mid stages of the race.
Yeah.
It's
probably a bit of an over, but Tim Clark, Gay Waterhouse, gate 2, straight to the front, race 1, Rosehill. I just feel like if this goes and puts a hole in them, then everyone's going to be saying, gee, that was an easy bet.
Like it was $3 early and you're like, this is just like free EV because it's not going to, the main danger in the race is a debutante. Like there's nothing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's going to start like 220, 240.
Let's move on to race 4, 1100 meter benchmark, 78, lost $2.70 from Piastri, who was really good last start at Caulfield, $3.80, Get Along $5, Way to the Stars, it looks your likely leader from barrier 1, $5.50, and Thunderlips $9. But Nico, you see in blue here, and this is the start of a bit of a blue run we see.
Yep, this is a complete moral lost. This mare was super on resumption, this preparation. She reefed and pulled and did everything wrong early, fought J-Mac the whole way. Hopefully he invoiced for double time because he definitely needed it for the first half of the race anyway. Then he just picked a gap through the field, throttled her down nearly into reverse. She won arrogantly. She's 2 from 2 second up. Up to the 1100 will pose no issues. She's barely going up in grade. And yeah, I just think she's a really smart mare. So there's a lot of speed in this race. So J-Mac will just camp in behind that. And he'll push the button when he wants and navigate a path. And she'll be far too good for this lot. Clear standout for the day. Best bet. I don't see how they beat her.
Huge. Massive. I'd definitely like the map for her. I think she's going to probably see
this. There's just so much speed in this race.
Yeah, and she'll just get that perfect running line.
Yeah. Just going to be vintage J-Mac. He'll just be fucking giggling. They'll just be going like cut snakes, and he'll just be giggling. He'll just be counting. 1, 2, 3, let's fucking go.
Huge. All right, so there's Nico's declaration for the evening. Let's move on to race 5. It is the Kia Prague Handicap, 1,400-meter benchmark 78. Sequest has been well-backed into $4. I Am Famous, $4.40. Nanchi, $5. Those are probably the three chances. Hell of a Dancer, $8. And Junquera, $14. I've taken $5.50 for Sequested. I thought she was awesome last start. She did everything bar win. She ran the fastest last 200 meters of the entire meeting. I think she ran the fastest last 600 as well. Just held up, didn't get the luck go its way, and probably back towards the inside at the start of the straight, which was the inferior ground. This is where they came down the extreme outside fence. Heavy track, tick, 1,300 to 1,400 meters, tick. Loses J-Mac, but gets Nash, so not really worried about that. And if this is a soft track and the inside is starting to break up a little bit, I think she just comes down the outside and gives these a toweling. I Am Famous and Nanchi come through the same form race last start. I think Nanchi can potentially turn the tables on it. So I'm looking at a big chance of a Godolphin Quinella here, but Sequested, I think she's found her niche here. I think she goes best early on in the prep and best around this 1400 meter distance. She put two together at the start of last preparation at 1400 meters. Then she her form dipped. I think this is the time to find her. And I think she's a really good bet against her own sex.
Yeah, I completely agree. Jeez, it was a tough watch first up. Oh, God. That was sick. On a proper fuck track, but she reeled off some proper splits late. I'm pretty sure, off the top of my head, fastest last 6, 4, and 2 of the meeting. Like, absolutely zipped home. Nash goes back on. I don't think you read a hell of a lot J-Mac getting off. I like that Nash is on Sequested because she's not the easiest of ride and she can take a little bit of a wind up. So you lose nothing from Nash to J-Mac, but Nash is probably a little more vigorous. I just think she's a cracker bet. As you said, Benny, she goes good early in her prep. Wet track's no issue. This might be the prep where she takes that next step because she's always promised that she's a good horse, and she hasn't probably fulfilled her early potential so far, but she's in the right camp. And
well, we all thought she was probably a stayer. Like when she was a 3-year-old, we backed her in the Adrian Knox, and maybe even in the futures in the Oaks. But
yeah,
I think she's more a 1400 meter horse.
Yeah, 14 probably. She might make it a mile. I don't know. Yeah, if she can get to the mile, that probably opens up a few more avenues for her. But yeah, she's a black type mare. I've got no doubt, just a matter of fact, whether she can get there or not.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% there. All right, let's move on to Sydney's feature. This is the Rosebud. Is it listed or is it?
I'm pretty sure it's a listed race.
I think it's a listed race. Tarpaulin is a $3.40 favorite, been well backed since the announcement came out that they're staying in Sydney. Gatsby's is $4, Brave One, $5.50, High Octane, $6, and Shangri-La Express, $7.50. So a few big names there, a few that we've already seen as 2-year-olds and some that have stepped out like Brave One this campaign and Tarpaulin who have really gone through to another level. I am worried a little bit that Tarpaulin is now fourth up and Godolphin Horse 3-year-old getting on in the preparation a little bit, but I'm still happy to back him. I think he just gets the most beautiful map here. His ratings have slowly progressed more and more this preparation. Heavy track, 3 heavy tracks in a row he's struck. I think he's going to get at least a soft 6, maybe a soft 7 here, which is perfect. He's the race fit horse. The market's found him, no doubt. If James McDonald was on, he would probably be even shorter, but J-Mac has gone on Gatsby's. I'm happy to back Tarpaulin. I've taken $3.80. Gatsby's no doubt a danger, but I actually think the map for Gatsby's here isn't exactly straightforward, because you've got Shangri-La Express, who will roll forward to the front from 7. Brave One from barrier 1 kicks up, and then all of a sudden Gatsby's from 8. If J-Mac doesn't do his usual thing and find the 1-1, then potentially he's caught out on a limb at Rose Hill, 1,100 metres, and I just don't know if that's a great setup.
Yeah, well, it all depends. If Brave One kicks up and holds out Shangri-La Express, then J-Mac's probably in a bit of trouble. But if Shangri-La can cross, Brave One sits in behind, that could open up the door for J-Mac on Gatsby's. But I'm pretty heavily in the camp of Tarpaulin. I think you couldn't be nothing but excited the way that he's been going of late. And I don't think it'll stop here. Wet track, no issue. James Cummings has made it clear that just going to stay there and just sort of keep beating the handicapper at the moment until he gets to level weights against the big boys. But they'll just keep putting the races in front of him. And at this point, he just keeps winning. So I don't see any reason why he can't again.
Do you know who his brother's with, Nico?
Tarpaulin.
Yeah.
Fuck. I've heard. Is it Cylinder?
No, it's Af Cabin.
Af Cabin, yeah.
Oh, your boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, seeing this race, Gatsby's went up favourite off a nice win at Canterbury, but then it went to Rose Hill and started really short. And, like, I think it was on pace that day and inside, and the way that race worked out as well was favouring the horses on pace, but you know, like, you just couldn't have it favorite, like, on what it's done. You just, no way. It opened 3:20, I think, like, it's out to 4:20 now. It probably starts even longer than that. Tarpaulin looks like a 250 chance to me. It's people will say, like, it's a heavy track, so you can't trust it, but like, it's the information we've got, and it's run really, really fast, so you know, you can't just not use the information we've got. And all we have is he's run really, really, really fast, and he should be very easily favourite. So he's a very nice horse. He's well-bred, and like, he keeps getting better. So, yeah. Brave One made a really nice debut as well. Ran some nice late splits there too. So, what's the other one? What is it? The one of these is way too short. I was looking at the different race. I must have scratched or something. There was another one in this race that was way too short.
There's been no scratchings, bud.
Oh, think about race one. Race one's a better race than the actual Rosebud.
Yeah, there are two really nice horses in race one that could have easily been in this race, but maybe they're horses that will get further in time. It is worth noting that even though Tarpaulin has been racing in, you'd say, the weaker company, he does have the best peak figure in this race.
Oh, he is absolutely worth smashed noting. Him, though. Yeah, like, he's...
Yeah.
He can only beat what he's up against, and he's absolutely donkey-looking, so...
Yeah, kick their heads in. As I said, if J-Mac was on Tarpaulin, you'd probably be looking at a bit of a shorter price.
Yeah, he'll start to 280, I'll say. He's the price he will start.
All right, sweet. I think that's all we've got for Sydney. Any other thoughts? In my back lay prey, I'll get to another one in a second, but that's about it. Anything else around the grounds?
Nope. No. Interesting to see how Tom Kitten goes.
Yep.
Bit of a miss. And more victorious. Absolutely fucking smacked.
$15 was the biggest over of all time. And then once it was gone, I saw 7, I saw 6. And I'm just like, I've missed the price now. It doesn't matter. Now he's $4.80. 15s was an absolute joke. Anyway,
probably lasted.
I've missed it.
Like half a second.
Yeah, proper steamed.
I've got one for around the grounds, and I'm going to incorporate it into my back lay prey. My best bet of the entire weekend comes up on Sunday in Japan. The Group 2 Sapporo Kinnan over 2,000 meters. Prognosis will be going around. The Cox Plate hopeful. This is a race he won by 4 lengths last year. He paid $5 last year. I don't think we're going to see any of that. I expect him to go up somewhere in the $2.50 range. He's got horses like Shariar, North Bridge, Geoglyph, just the sort of second stringers in Japan. I think he's simply better than them. Stella Veloce. His recent gallop was outstanding. You can log on to Twitter. Graham Pavey, long ball to no one. He posts a lot of the good Japanese stuff, including prognosis. Clicked up, ran 11 seconds flat for his final 200 meters in a gallop, which is seriously humming. I just think he's the best bet of the weekend. No prices yet because it is only a Group 2, but Bet365 and Ladbrokes are usually the two that put up international markets the fastest. And, yeah, I think he's very, very good bet. I think he's definitely – he's a Group 1 horse who hasn't won a Group 1 yet. He's just sort of won 3 or 4 Group 2s, but hopefully he wins this and comes on over because he's a serious horse and we need another good Japanese horse to come to Australia. Because it's been a few years now. Hasn't been since Lee Grisheur, since we've seen a proper weight for age horse come over from the land of the rising sun.
Yeah.
So that's my back, my best bet. My lay will be Tom Kitten. I'm going to sink the boots in him. I think he can win, obviously, but I just don't think just because he's been gelded that all of a sudden he's got the speed for 1,400 metres. He's been trialling well. But I think race pressure and race speed is a lot different. And from what I saw of him last preparation, he's a dour sort of 2,000 meter horse. And I think Amor Victoria should be favorite. So he's my lay and my best each way. You can make it either. Let's make it pinstripe because my sub should be on at a bit better price. That's it.
I don't have a best bet really. Like there's nothing I'm super keen on Saturday, but I think I like the horse in the first Charmed Run a lot. And Who Dares is another one that I'm definitely be backing. So those can be my two combined best bet and best prey. And Rhapsody Chic is way too short. Like, way too short. I don't understand it. But, you know, it's probably going to piss down. It's the only one that handles the track. But, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Clear best bet. Race 4, Rose Hill, lost. Best value would be Caulfield, race 7, the Pendragon. And my lay by far be me outside the place. Disgusting.
Sweet. That gets to our first question from Ryan. Bigger false favourite, Maotai or Tom Kitten?
Maotai easily.
There you go. Percy the Punter. Surely Pericles drifts from its current price of $2.90. Is that too short in your opinion?
Yeah, I think
it's a little
so.
Bit short. I think it's a little bit too short, but I don't think he'll get out anything past sort of $3.50.
Nah, yeah, I don't know. My price for him is $3.70. I think
$3.20. I reckon he'll get to.
Yeah, I think he probably starts like $3.20, $3.40. I don't see him getting out too much.
Yeah, I'll be backing him on the day as well. I took a bit of $3 and I cashed it out because I think we might just get slightly better. All right, let me just get up the Insta questions before we wrap up. Okay, there's just two. Isaac Fry says, best bet of the spring. I think I've made this well publicized, but my best bet of the entire spring is Via Sustina to win the Turnbull. She is an absolute moral. She's the only A grader that will be going there, unless a horse like Riff Rocket maybe goes there. But other than that, she's one of the best 2,000 meter horses in the country. You can currently get $5 on Bet365. She will start with a 2 next to her name.
Huge.
Yeah. It's Chris Weller's favorite race, the Turnbull. He wins it every year.
Yep. Anyone else got one?
Not off the top of my head. No.
Yep. And Bot doesn't really look at futures, do
you? I Am Velvet for the 1,000 guineas.
For the 1,000 guineas, there you go. Yep. That's Nico's one. I think it's into about $18 now from the 26 after you, we tipped it on radio.
Those fucking tab squibs would have listened and turned it in. No one would have backed it.
Fuck. Radio. Yep.
They would have. They're fucking weak.
Yeah. Well, they need to renew their partnership with RSN and the squibs.
Fuck yeah.
Shane Burnett, last one. Do you give Buffalo River any chance? He's a 9-year-old now, but all stakes form is 1,400 metres Caulfield. This horse went across the line with Pride of Jenny and Mr. Brightside at a 1,400 metre race earlier on in the year, but I don't know. I think Gentleman Roy in the race is a little bit of a deterrent, maybe.
I don't like him. I can't back him at the price.
I think the other thing with Buffalo River is if this is a soft track and he's leading on the fence, every time he's been absolutely swallowed up has been when the fence has been off and he's been pressured and they all just come slingshotting straight past him down the outside at Caulfield. So if that fence is off and he just doesn't have the bias in his favour, I think he's a little bit more vulnerable. He's not none, but...
No, but I wouldn't back him at what price is he now? He's like $14 or something, isn't he? That's not any sort of value at all. I'd much rather back nothing, actually, really. Aegon.
Spot.
Yeah, like I'll just wait, see what Betfair's doing on Saturday once, you know, see what's going on. But I don't, like right now on a Thursday, like there's nothing there. But
yep.
I heard Aegon's trainer was whinging about the barrier during the week. Like, mate, you know you are allowed to go forward from the outside barrier. Just fucking go forward or something. Get lucky. Get midfield 3 wide with cover. Not...
Yeah. Well, there's more chance of Nico running in a marathon than Aegon going forward from barrier 11. We know that.
Oh, it's so annoying. I really like the horse too.
All right. Let's wrap it up there, gents. Been a good podcast. We will resume next week. The Valley Rail's going to be up 4 or 5 meters. That's going to be interesting. The Carline's going to be a cracker.
Bold Bastille Moral.
Bold Bastille Mornings in Glory was awesome off the big win last start. Arabian Summer probably goes there with the delay in preparation, and then you've got Stay Focused going around in the 3-year-old handicap. So bit of good.
She draws a gate. Bold Bastille 50.5 J Car. She'll just be.
See you later, you reckon.
Put in, take out job.
Well, Cool and Gatto couldn't get the job done in a car line a few years ago, but then she went on to win the Moya a few weeks later. So,
very interesting stuff. Socks.
All right, let's wrap up the podcast there. Thanks, everyone. See you back here next week.